If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
That's a hell of a hat that you're wearing. It goes real well with the earring. Fire through the nose, bold and daring. You got to pardon me if I'm staring.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 343. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Oh, welcome, Clay. How's the hat doing?
Oh, it's a hell of a hat. You know
How's your new hat?
Do you know that Boston song, Hell of a Hat? It's a great song.
I don't.
It's an anti-gun violence song, actually. It's like, hey, it's basically like, hey, that's a hell of a hat, but why are you packing that heat, man?
Oh,
it's a 90s. It's a 90s song, but yeah, the hat
I think
that
both Boston songs were.
well, they have new records and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, so the hat, we went down to try to buy some Red Sox merch yesterday, at least I did. I needed a new baseball hat. You were kind enough to join me.
Well, I was out and about, so I thought, well, we'll get some lunch. And
all sorts of Red Sox related stuff too. We went to the Bleacher Bar, saw some fancy signs up in there. Bleacher Bar is the coolest, man.
Up in there. Yeah, actually I hadn't been there in a while, and it's good. They got good food and great atmosphere, and yeah, there was a game going on, so that's all. That always adds
won,
to
right?
it. Yeah, they won in the 10th. Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, that first store, they didn't actually have any Red Sox memorabilia in there.
Yeah, that
for a baseball store on Lansdowne Street, they had just a bunch of weird shirts with sayings, like baseball sayings,
and they had the major league. There's basically a Major League the Movie
store
opened up right at the top of Lansdowne Street, like across the street from Fenway Park, like tricking you into thinking you can get an actual licensed nice Boston Red Sox hat, which I did get at the officially licensed store, but not
at
this
one. The actual souvenir store. So weird, but yeah, not a great location for that store. Because if you were like, oh man, I'm going to the Red Sox game, I want to get a hat or a shirt or something.
Yeah,
you walk in there, and you're like, what am I doing? What is this? Like what?
Yeah, if you're like visiting from out of town or something, you're just like, I forgot my.
Or even if you like come, you're not even. I mean, like out of town, like even just the suburbs or something. Like it's. Weird.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well. And we should also note the store was empty when we walked in. We were the only customers in there.
I think that we should do them a favor. We won't mention the name of the store.
Right.
We described where it was. We're not trying to slander anyone. It just was
a little
disappointing.
You're right.
Like,
yes.
We walked in there and was like, almost bought like guilty socks. Because we were feeling like guilty about being in there and not buying anything. But there was like a couple girls when we walked in. By the time we left, which wasn't that long, it was like West Street, those people had gone. They left.
Yeah, there was us and the employees. And So I only say that because that's not us being cynical.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
there was
no
one
that still. We are being.
Well, we are cynical, right?
Just
but
by
I mean,
default,
like, it's not just us. Yeah,
it's not just us.
Yeah,
perfect.
So, but it's funny. So, like, because I do that. Like, do you ever? I know we've had this conversation. Probably,
you guilt buy stuff. The, okay. I don't guilt.
I do
buy
guilt
anything.
Buy stuff, but I especially do it in like a comic book store or something.
Oh well,
I feel like it's a small business, you know,
okay,
or whatever.
Well, step back from that for a second. Like, we all get like free comic book stuff related to like doing the podcast or whatever. So even if you're out of town, like let's say you're in Portland, Maine, and there's a comic book store, and you're like, don't really need anything. Yeah, of course, buy something from that place.
Yeah,
that's not really guilt. That's not really guilt buying if it's from a comic book store.
All right, if you say
But like other places, like that place. No, there's no such thing as a guilt buying thing. Or you could walk into any Newbury Comics and walk out.
Well, Newbury Comics, that's like a big store.
Yeah.
But if you go into a comic book store, it's usually like you, if it's no, there's nobody in there. You know what I mean? It's you and the person behind the register. And they're like, I mean, obviously they don't care. But in my mind, they're like, oh man, this guy better buy something. You know what I mean? I don't know. In my mind, that's what's going on. But they don't give a shit.
That's why I'm. That's why I like to go to like the quarter bins and stuff, anyways, just to like be like, oh, I'll spend $5 this quarter bin thing and fill in. Oh, my, you know,
your G.I. Joe.
no G.I. Joes in the quarter bin, unfortunately.
Really? Oh, man, that's true. You never know.
I'm paying good money for the back issues that I like. I'm anywhere between seven and I don't know. Sometimes I bought like one that was like $20 or something, but they're not that bad. It's not like it's I'm like getting, you know, the first appearance of Wolverine or something.
Right. Right. Hey, that's, you know, I remember when I was buying all the Strangers in Paradise. There were various price points for those, although I was doing it on the internet. I know you kind of have like a,
that's just like my real world, like away right. from the phone thing that I want to do.
I would buy, you know, because sometimes people will sell like six or seven issues, you know, on eBay, and yeah. I'm like, well, all right, that'll help.
If it gets down to me needing 10 of the final 10, then I might like be like, okay, I'm almost done here, let's just take it to eBay.
Well, because yeah, it can be hard to find. Those were there were low print runs on those.
So. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
so. And I was happy to report, actually, since we're talking about it, and we don't have to talk about the issue like for a crazy long time, but I got G.I. Joe issue 253, which continues a classic tradition, which was when they had the G.I. Joe Special Missions book,
yeah,
limited series there. What they're doing, since they're probably not obviously going to publish like another IDW G.I. Joe like Larry Hama comic, they just made he made it the run. So after the anniversary issue of 250, he did like he's doing like five of these just like one shots. So it was like Stalker, and this one was Duke, and it was like pre G.I. Joe Duke, and he's hanging out like on a tank mission in the desert, and like it kind of like almost reads a little bit like the beginning of the first Iron Man movie, except for that. Oh, okay. There's no Tony Stark there. It's just like,
it's actually not Iron Man. Oh, okay.
But anyways, yeah, Roadblock is with him too. But it's like sort of like a prequel. Like they both got asked to join, like a member of their crew died, and they both got asked to you know, like be on a special missions force that's coming up, and Duke's like, yeah, as long as he comes with me and stuff like that. So it was kind of like right before they get recruited.
Right. I mean, that's pretty cool, because I remember that issue, it was around 21 or something, where they both came in together.
Yeah.
Roadblock and Duke were like the, they came in and they shot down like a Rattler or something like that, or shot down a plane.
Well, actually, that's funny, because that you mentioned that, because I got cover B, which is probably a recreation of that cover, which is like Duke shooting at like a Rattler pilot.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know if I remember what the cover looked like, but I remember the issue specifically because they were at the funeral for like General Flag or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they were kind of just all standing out there, and, you know, this Rattler was coming along. It's like, I can blow them all away right now, because they're in their formal, you know, they don't have guns or anything. And then Duke and Roadblock show up and just shot the Rattler down.
Oh, and cool. since you mentioned that, I have to say, I have a shout out to the letters column in this one too, because somehow the guy asks Larry a question. He's like, I'm sorry, I forgot to consult the list. And he alphabetically lists from Avalanche to Voltar to the October Guard every issue in which somebody died in all of their names.
Really?
So, like, Dr. Venom died in issue 19.
Well, 19. A lot of people died in 19.
Yeah, Quinn, 19. Yeah. Serpentor, Zartan's Arrow, 76. Scarface 19.
Zartan's Arrow, is that how we got that? Is that how we
yeah
died?
Sort of
that?
Oh, Sorry, it says how they died. So I'll just start with Avalanche. Oil drums destroyed by Cobra battery in issue 113. So there's a lot of people get blown up by exploding things. And then there was confirmed Crocmaster died of confirmed food poisoning, botulism in the sunken freighter, which is actually like Raptor died that way, and like a couple, and Tyrone, I don't forget who that is, but he died that way, and Voltar died that way. So this was like if you see this next week when you go to the store, you should pick it up. Just for the list and the story with Stalker and Duke.
All right.
It's awesome.
Maybe I will. Walk in there and nobody else is in there, I'll buy that as my guilty
buy. You can always buy a back issue or something. I think I was talking to you on the phone or like texting you or I mentioned it on the show and I was like, just trying to find a Jughead comic when I went into Million Year Picnic last time.
Yeah, right.
It's like, where is it? That's the one. That was my out that week. That I would have picked up.
Well, Million Year Picnic is one of those. No offense, it's a great store, but it's one of those stores where, like, I feel like I have to buy something. If I walk in there and walk out, I don't know why I feel like they're judging me or something.
Definitely not a diss. They're on that not place at all because half the time you go in there, you can't even. There's like a huge line. There's like tons of people in there, and then the other times it's completely dead and you're the only one in there,
and it's one of those smaller stores, though, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a smaller kind of store. Those are the stores I feel guilty not buying something.
Especially if you're there on a Wednesday and you don't buy something,
Wednesday is, but that's the thing, like if you go in a comic store on like a Sunday, it's like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah, you probably are the only one in there, you know?
No.
That's why you go to places where they're, like, familiar with you.
And they right, because then they'll just chat.
They'll just be like, all right.
Yeah, easily. All right, well, speaking of buying comics, we got to talk. We got some big, big stuff this week. I thought this was a big week for huge. New number ones, anyway.
Yep. Yeah, huge.
Huge. So do we want to start? What do we got? Superman. We got Spider-Man.
Tell me. I just talked about G.I. Joe for 10 minutes. So.
I know. Well, let's talk. I know you're a big fan of Spidey.
Yes.
And you're a big fan of Nick Spencer.
And Ryan Ottley from Invincible.
And Ryan Ottley. So I'm gonna let's start Ryan Ottley. That the artwork was tremendous. I loved it. He looked. I don't know if he's ever done Spider-Man really much, but...
Invincible was basically Spider-Man or Superboy. I mean, it just, like, it makes so much sense. And I think from the back matter, like, it seemed like Nick Spencer asked him to do it. But it's like, Invincible just wrapped up. Have him on Spider-Man with Nick Spencer. I can't think of a better combination. It's fucking awesome.
No, but see, I don't know. You have to... I feel like Spider-Man is a certain... way, you know what I mean? Some like Todd McFarlane drew him like completely people, and like some guys like Humberto Ramos. I don't know. I always liked the way he drew Spider-Man, and John Romita Jr. of course has like a Spider-Man, and Ryan Ottley. I feel like now he has like a Spider-Man that you're gonna be like, this is Spidey. This is how he draws Spidey, and this is how I'm gonna. I don't know. This is a run. You know, like this is a thing.
Like, so, like, are you saying that in a bad way, or are you just...
Like, no, it's great. I think it's great. Like,
yeah, I like it too.
That's the way he draws it. You kind of have to draw Spider-Man a certain way, you know?
You know what's... it's similar to... that it references, like, all older styles, but it's like when Larson took over for McFarlane, it quickly became Eric Larson. You know, even though he was basing it on, like, it looked a lot like Todd's stuff at the very beginning. But then it kind of, like, morphed into its own thing. And I feel like this is also that. Like, it's like, it's new. It's familiar, but it's new. And it just is like, perfect.
Well, you know, if you read interviews with Eric Larson, there were times where he was drawing, like, half the book when McFarlane was late.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I do know that.
Amazing Spider-Man. He was doing it.
Yeah,
and getting no credit.
Or he was, Todd would like finish it or something. Or
Like he was basically drawing half the book.
Yeah, but I mean,
nobody knew, and everybody was like, "Oh, that McFarlane's awesome."
Yeah,
but whatever. I mean, it's no big deal by now. But he kind of laughed.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, so this is Ryan Otley's Spider-Man and Nick Spencer. Obviously, Nick Spencer. All right, so let's talk. So Peter Parker, this is good. Okay, so I'm glad they're kind of acknowledging. You know how sometimes in comics they start, especially in a new number one, it's kind of just like, never mind all that 70 years of history. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, this picks up after.
We're going back to the Superior run, actually.
Yeah.
And they're acknowledging that, you know, because he got a master's as when Doc Ock was in his body.
Yeah.
Or doctorate. A doctorate, I think, right? Was it a doctorate? Yeah. Whatever it was. He got all these degrees and all this stuff and all this prestige as Doc Ock. And when he came back as Peter Parker, he was kind of like, okay, great. Yay! Like, you never did anything.
I got a degree.
He never said, oh, by the way, that wasn't really me and I'm really sorry. So now there's this great new thing that can detect plagiarism, which is kind of funny. Someone working at a college, I hear a lot about plagiarism and everything, and it's a big deal these days. And there are websites that you can plug the paper in.
Oh, right.
Similar to this, actually. And they can find out if it's been written before, you know.
Yeah, so, because you could, like, even as – like, you could buy somebody, like, a book report from somebody online about certain
things. Or, like, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagine these oh, man. I mean, not to be – it doesn't really matter now. I stole a bunch of my brother's papers.
Did you?
Yeah. Not like stole. I mean, they were there. I mean, like, it's not like I snuck them, but I said, oh, I'll just do this. My brother wrote this. And he didn't go to Abington High, so nobody knew.
Oh, right.
But still, I guess technically not right. So I feel you, Peter Parker. Peter Parker, you know, they put his paper in, as luck would have it. I don't know why they chose him, but and it comes out 100% Otto Octavius. They probably chose him
like because they wanted to do like a control group, like, oh, let's pick some professors, let's pick some of these people, and we'll pick some students and try to test them all.
Well, I think she also kind of had like a she had a thing for him too, right? Because the woman who was doing it went to college together.
Oh yeah,
and I think he asked her out or something. There was some history there, and so maybe that's why she chose him because she. She had this thing. She hated him ever since college or something, whatever it was. So it comes out, though, and he's discredited. And he is fired from the Bugle. And he's, you know.
But, yeah. And,
his
and
name
this,
is.
This is like Robbie Robertson has to act like J. Jonah Jameson and be like, you're fired.
Yeah. But he's kind of like, I know there's probably an explanation and whatever, but I have to fire you. And thankfully, okay, so here's another thing I'm really glad about. They actually acknowledge that newspaper circulation is down and nobody's buying fucking newspapers. Like, I was saying this a year ago. Like, why is Peter Parker still working for the Bugle? What the – like, who buys newspapers? But whatever.
But it would be, like, the equivalent of, like, working for, like, the Huffington Post or whatever.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he does – he's, like, an editor or whatever.
And big
but,
papers aren't going away, like the Washington Post or New York Times, you know? I imagine the Bugle is, like, that big.
No, I do too, but it's just funny that they still use it as like.
You can't get away from it. Fucking Superman still, too.
I know, it's true. But I mean, and you still, you know, I mean, people still buy the Globe or whatever, but.
Yeah.
I know, it's just funny. But anyway, so he is fired. And all these other. And then he goes, there's a funny moment, one of my favorite moments. So they are teasing a lot. He's kind of remembering Mary Jane. Little bits throughout this thing. He goes, has like lunch with her, and she laughs at him. She's like, oh, Peter. She's like, so your evil nemesis took over your body, did all this stuff, and now it's coming back. She's like, ah, Peter Parker. Yeah, you know, she's kind of laughing at him. I think that's fun. I thought that was a funny moment.
Yeah.
She's not like sympathizing, really. She's just like, ah, here you go again. You know,
you
Peter
idiots.
Parker in trouble. Ah. So anyways... There, while this is going on, it's kind of flashback and whatever. And then, so he's helping the Avengers fight these globby alien things. Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of like the last man standing. And he's like, wait, I know this because this is in the paper that I supposedly plagiarized. Like the way he can defeat them. Because it had to do with random patterns or whatever and stuff like that. So he ends up getting through the thing, and it turns out it's just Mysterio.
Right.
And so it's all an illusion. There are no aliens. But Mysterio, who's a classic. I mean, a classic Spider-Man villain.
Oh, he's right? One of my favorites.
Yeah, he's hilarious. So, and he is hilarious in here, too, because he's kind of crazy. So, anyway, Spider-Man, like, defeats him.
I like how he has him hanging upside down, and it doesn't look like... It kind of looks like the Dark Knight or something, you know? Like, it doesn't look like a Spider-Man comic for a second. It's like, yeah. They can smell your fear.
So, so that's pretty cool. Going through the whole thing, he begins to realize... Oh, because Aunt May also found out that he plagiarized.
Aunt May found out because she gets an alert on her phone, even though Peter tries to hide the copy of the paper. Oh, the paper didn't come today, Aunt May. She's like, well, you can't fool me. And she's
it's a good thing I get alerts. She's
super disappointed in Peter now. So,
yeah, that's kind of part of the theme of this issue. There's like all the heroes are disappointed in him because of he got like the. Kingpin wanted to give him the key to the city, and he's like, no. But so they thought like he was kind of like buddy-buddy with the Kingpin and stuff. There was kind of like a whole thing there.
I love Ryan Ottley drawing the Kingpin in his white suit.
I think the classic white suit.
I love it so much.
So then there's, so the heroes are all kind of disappointed in him. Aunt May is disappointed in him. Robbie Robertson is disappointed in him. Oh, yeah, and as you described last week, he's living with Boomerang.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of a funny thing. And the guy's a moron. He's playing video games at 5 a.m.
And he says,
that's when the Koreans are up. This is such a weird
thing. Yeah, because they're playing Call of Duty Latverian edition.
Latveria, yeah, I love that. A lot of funny references like that in here. His life is kind of going downhill, but they have this great moment. And this, I've been waiting for this for 10 years. He goes, has this impassioned plea. You don't know who he's talking to. And then at the very bottom of that, of the last panel on the page, he's like, look, I know my life is all fucked up, but I got to do it. And then it says, save it, Tiger. And you're like, oh, and you turn the page and he and Mary Jane are kissing. And you're like, oh, my God, finally. Yeah. I've been waiting 10 years at least, probably more. When did that stupid Brand New Day thing happen?
Well, they reference Brand New Day earlier in the issue, too.
That's right. They say something about Brand New Day.
That girl, Cindy Lawton.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
She's like, it's what we're calling a Brand New Day here at Empire State University.
Yeah. There was another funny thing, too. At the beginning, he's remembering, Mary Jane, and he says, like, there was always something, because they don't know that they were married, right?
It was, erased from everybody's.
Right. But he's
mine.
Like, I always felt like there was something missing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad. Like, you don't, like, what the hell? What
that was this? A good way to recognize all of that stuff.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was done really well. And yeah, Mary Jane and Peter Parker are back, which is, I mean, come on. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Come on. Yes.
I think. Okay. They don't need to get married. My opinion. My opinion, joke aside.
They're always, they were. For me, they were always together in, they started off together, in Ultimate Spider-Man,
Ultimate Spider-Man was different, but yeah, that was cool. I like that. But as adults, they should definitely be together. And I'm glad I'm not going to say I'm glad. I mean, it worked this way. And now when you look back, you're like, she worked for Tony Stark. She, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just... interesting things, but
you're right
they don't have to be married, but I at least want them sort of together because it does help. It adds a nice dynamic. Peter has someone he can talk to, and that helps in the writing and everything. So then they do this cool thing. So that's how the issue ends, basically, because then you'd have like a letters page and then there's more. It's almost like an end credits, like a movie. It's like the end credit sequence.
Yeah, double size issue, and you got your. It's Umberto Ramos, I think, drew that one too, right?
The little end thing. So there's an end thing with Mysterio, and then there's another thing where Peter doesn't have a job, And they actually want to hire him at Empire State University. And he's like, what? Why? I don't. And he said, well, one of our professors insisted. And he opens the door and it's the lizard. So, and he's teaching.
Yeah.
He's teaching a class.
Parker so, never sees. Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. But yeah.
Is it that he's teaching or does he?
Oh, I thought he was.
Or does he have just, to take his all of his classes over again and he's like taking the class?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I mean, I don't know. You could be right too.
No, I think he has to. I don't remember. But yeah, the lizard is there though. And the lizard's, I mean, kind of like a good guy, I guess. Right. Or, yeah. But I'm sure he's going to go bad at some point. So, but so they're bringing back, I like this though. They get some classic villains here. We got Mysterio. We got the lizard, you know.
I like, if you look at the artwork for the cover for the next issue, it's like lizard yelling at Spidey and his spider sense is going off. But if it's just a classroom situation, is he like just being like, where's your homework?
Right. Oh, we also had the lady beetle thing there too. That,
oh, yeah.
So talking about classic villains, there's that girl beetle.
Well, she's directly from Superior Foes.
Right. Yes.
She's part of that whole Jim Jam.
And she was Mysterio's lawyer, which is kind of funny. But he's crazy, right? Or is he crazy, or is there some other thing going on? Some big villain pulling the strings? That's I guess that's part of the question.
That's this guy whose name I like totally don't know. But
I don't know either, but he's got the blue face.
Yeah. And, yeah. But I've seen him before in Spidey. So
yeah.
He's sort of pulling the strings, I guess.
I feel like he's pulling the strings, right?
But he's like Mysterioing Mysterio, like putting visions in his head,
right?
And stuff like that, messing around with them.
So, anyways, great, great book.
Great. Number
you
one.
Were off like me, and you were like, "Oh, fucking Spider-Man!" Now is the time. Come back because this was damn good. And I know everyone loved. I know everyone loved Dan Slott.
There was a lot of good stuff in there. The Superior Spider-Man, Spider Island was cool. You know, it was a long time. A lot of stuff.
It was. It was like 10 years.
A lot of stuff.
But a lot of stuff. And it wasn't all bad.
No, there was a lot of good in there. Like Superior was great. Yeah, but, you know,
Superior is great.
And the issues 600 and 700.
Yeah.
He had a lot of anniversaries. It was exciting. Yeah.
But I'm glad he's gone. I'm sorry, I have to say it. I'm glad he's gone. I know he did some good stuff.
Are you
going to
pick
run.
Up Fantastic Four? Do you think?
I mean, I'll buy the first issue, but if it's anything like Dan Slott's Iron Man, I'm gonna hate it because that book was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
It sucked. It sucked.
Oh no, I did read that.
You did read it. Yeah, we talked about Going to Go. It was terrible.
I thought you were talking about like some old one.
No, the new one that just came out. Yeah. Oh, what a piece of shit. So anyways, very well. I'm really happy. This is what I think Spider-Man should be. He's funny, but he's not like dumb. In fact, he's really smart.
He
plays it off. Nick Spencer plays it off. Like Peter Parker's a really smart guy, which I like.
Even though I didn't read like any of the Secret Empire stuff. I am a big fan of Nick Spencer, so I really want to see this book do well and let them have a 10-year run on this thing.
Yeah, maybe. Why not?
They got to sign these guys up for a certain number of issues, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it works. Or sometimes maybe you just get it until you go, all right, I'm done. You know, depending on your level of art, you know, like if you're like, if you're like Bendis, you can probably just be like, okay, I'm done. I told my, this is the story I wanted to tell, and now I'm good.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I don't know, some newbie, and they're like, okay, you got to do 12 issues. You're like, oh, okay, I'll do 12, or whatever, you know. But,
well, Tom King on Word Balloon did say that he like when he signed his contract with DC, it was for 4 years of Batman, 100 issues.
Oh wow.
So he's like, yo, we're only halfway through my run and stuff like that. So it probably works differently for everybody.
Yeah, it probably does.
But I hope Nick Spencer, they signed him on for like a
I hope they signed him on for a good long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that'd be great. You know, if I just wanted to pick up from where like Invincible left off for me, like in my mind, like time wise, just like, oh, okay, well, it's not Kirkman, but
right,
the school but of Kirkman.
But that was always taken. Yeah, he was taken from Spider-Man. Invincible was just kind of supposed to be like Spider-Man. So yeah, I'm very happy. So people who think that I hate everything, I didn't hate this.
Oh, well, did you hate Superman number one?
No, I actually didn't hate that either, but I didn't understand it.
The David Mack cover.
The David Mack cover is amazing. I'm glad you bought it. I'm sorry I kind of made you buy it.
No, I didn't
but
even
know. What happened?
Didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I reached for the good bread. You know?
Yeah.
Never the take bread. The top. Never take the comic on top.
Yeah.
Because other people have touched it. So reach in, find the good bread, and look what I found. I found the best bread you could find. I found David Mack bread.
Yep.
So that was great. So the book itself, it picks up right after Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. And so I didn't read that. I feel bad, but whatever. So apparently what happened? Lois and his son, Superman's son, their son, Jor-El said,
takes them on
a space journey. Yeah, he's like, go on a little adventure and become a man or something like that. It was kind of weird. Anyway, so – and then Superman lost the means of communicating with them. Right.
Yeah, like broke their like destroyed and broken travel. So he was like, oh, maybe I'll go try to find them.
Yeah, where are these?
Like, oh, whatever.
But it's a big universe. So he's kind of like, well, but he's also kind of like, Lois, I have faith in you. You guys are going to be okay. Which is kind of a cool thing. But I almost feel like it's a way to kind of write them out.
Yeah, definitely.
A little while.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Just be like, oh, now we don't have to worry about them.
And there's a lot of, like, moping around. Like, the last issue of Man of Steel is the same as it is, like, on pages, like, 5 and 6 of this, where, like, he's just in his house, and there's this – he's just imagining that they were home with him.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny when the kid's like, I don't want to go to school. And he's like, I love you. You're going to school.
Oh, it's double torture. Oh, kid.
Yeah.
Go to school.
There's also a little mourning of the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes,
but then, of course, he seems to just build another one, right? Am I wrong? He just reaches down, takes out the crystal, and there's another one?
That's how it works with the Fortress of Solitude.
So what's the point of destroying it?
He has, like, Fortress of Solitude seeds. And then he can spread them around, you know, if you ever watched Smallville.
I mean, I watched a little bit of it.
There was a scene where he, like, finally goes and, like, it's like in the Arctic Circle, and he takes the thing and he throws it, and it builds a Fortress of Solitude, just like in this comic.
Just like Superman, was it Superman 2? Or I guess the original Superman, right? The first one where he threw the green, was it the green crystal?
Yeah, it's moment? Just like a piece of kryptonite, basically.
Yeah, he threw the thing, and then all of a sudden the Fortress of Solitude, like.
And then they did it in Superman Returns with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, God. We're not allowed to talk about him anymore.
Wrong.
Wrong. That movie doesn't exist.
Wrong.
I was joking with, I was hanging out with some friends last night, and one of them was joking that we should put Christopher Plummer, we should insert Christopher Plummer into every Kevin Spacey movie.
That would be good. Just
like, yeah. Just like they did with that last one. Anyways, I mean, it's fine. So, but we're, and the end, the cliffhanger, the big to-do here is because they sentenced that guy, the evil guy. What's his name? Zach or Zor or whatever his name was. The guy from Man of Steel, you know. They to the negative – not the negative zone. That's Marvel. The Phantom Zone.
Phantom Zone.
Supergirl came and put him in the Phantom Zone. And now – so Superman's flying around looking whatever, and he finds out the Earth is actually in the Phantom Zone.
Yes, correct.
So that's the cliffhanger, and that means that guy is there, I guess. Whatever his name, what is his name?
It's like Zorgar.
Zorgar, blah, blah, blah. That's some silly name, actually. But, yeah. So, but, I mean, overall, not bad. Bendis was fine. as he usually is when it's one character. There's a little bit of Justice League in there. He talks to Martian Manhunter
Martian Manhunter is trying to convince him to rule the world.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. It's really weird. Like,
so I kind of feel like that's probably where it's going to go, right? Like, not in a... I mean, why bring it up unless you're going to do it?
I don't know. I don't think he's entirely convinced. And he, I like just how he...
Not keeps, yet. Actually, they should go there. Otherwise, that scene is pointless.
Well, it might have something to do with what's going on in Justice League right now, but who knows?
Oh, really? Well, that's silly. There's old, you know, screenwriting thing or playwriting. Chekhov's rifle. If you have a rifle in Act 1, it better go off by Act 3. That's the joke. I mean, that's the theory.
But so if you have this scene... And had complaints about Bendis comics where he's just done stuff and kind of like dropped it too.
I don't know. I don't get that feeling. Maybe they will. But I feel like if you're going to do this, he makes it a big point. I kind of feel like he was... he was kind of like blowing it off, but I feel like something's going to happen. It's going to be so bad that he has to sort of take over. I don't know. We'll see. I would be interested to read it. That's what all I'm saying.
Are you going to pick up Action as well?
I guess that's a lot of Superman for me, but
it's like it'll be him. You know, it's like the same story. It's like Bendis is telling it. You know what I mean?
Is it the same story, or is it...
Yeah, well, it'll be a different story, but it's the continuity, and I'm sure they're going to relate to each other, you know?
Oh, that's a lot of Superman. Well, we'll see.
I'm in for it. I want that much.
I've been buying a shitload of books lately, so I don't know. We'll have to see. I guess it's not that big a deal. I'll buy the first issue.
There you go.
If I like it.
So you're going to go out and buy Action Comics number 1?
Oh, 1001. Oh, you mean number 1 from 1963?
You should.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll just take all my life savings and buy that book.
Start there.
Yeah.
It's only 1,000 to get afterwards.
Yeah, it's kind of like your G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You know, I'll buy them only at cons.
What else do we have here?
X-23. X-23 also had a little bit of a reboot. Just a renumbering or whatever the hell you want to call it. Relaunch.
I was expecting from the cover for this to be a very different book, and but I'm glad that it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it was more of the same. It's
totally not. In fact, they don't even acknowledge that she's not Wolverine.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're like kind
whatever.
Of whatever. They're always like they are constantly talking about the clones in X-23,
right?
DNA and stuff like that. So,
but I mean, I can only imagine that they're bringing back OG Wolverine.
Yeah,
right. That's why they have to that's why they have to rechristen her as
and maybe X-23. They have to do that like if they're in a big fight scene together, they have to call somebody Wolverine and somebody X-23 just so nobody's confused.
Yeah, because you might get confused because one's a man and one's a woman.
That's okay.
But I guess I can only assume, and this is just me jumping out here, you know, spitballing or whatever you want to call it, but that because Wolverine is not back yet,
yeah,
there's no reason to not call her Wolverine.
It's true.
But they're really dragging this Wolverine thing out. I'm just going to say it's, you know, because we have these four issue series going on, and then there's another one going on after that.
I think that one's the one that just has the conclusion of all of them in it.
Man, I'm just saying they're really milking us for all of our.
But don't let that reflect poorly on X-23.
You're right,
because
this Honey is a good Badger, book.
Gabby is totally like she's the best Robin there is right now. She's the best sidekick. She's so funny and just like cute and innocent and like but badass. And is just always looking for snacks. She's a total teenager.
Yeah, they like a lot in
this. What Jubilee was, you know, back in the day. And they
way better than Jubilee.
Way better, kind of, but that's point. Like, yeah. Kind of like, you know, that. And then bring back these Morrison, you know, weirdos, the Cuckoos.
The Cuckoo, yeah. So that was kind of creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy because
that that really creeped me out a little bit. there used to be five, and now there's three. But they tried to bring back the other two, but they're not. They're dying again.
Yeah.
Because the cloning is not perfect or whatever. So. Oh, and but they're it looks. I don't know. They look like the Toxic Avenger or something. It was like a horror
book. Like that
part of
it was like
spooky. It was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of cloning going on in this book. But yeah, it's fun though. And if you like if you liked All New Wolverine, I think you'll like this.
So, I mean, we've got Mariko Tamaki.
Tamaki. Yeah.
And Juan Cabal, who I definitely know drew a bunch of those, All New Wolverine issues too. He's great. Awesome artwork. I love it.
Yeah, they've really done a good job. Like Laura Kinney she's a good character. She could have gone the other way very easily. As you're a clone of Wolverine. Okay, just another Wolverine. No, they've done a good job making her own character. And yeah, I like it. So there you go.
There you go.
23, number one.
Did you get any other Marvels?
I got Punisher. Did you read Punisher?
Yeah,
I got
Punisher.
I feel like they're wrapping up because they're going to start Punisher number one pretty soon. There are the ads.
Old logo.
Old logo, Punisher number one, where he's not, I assume not, I mean, he doesn't look like he's, I think we're probably done with the War Machine.
Yeah, I think the War Machine thing. Armor is about pretty to wrap soon. Up. And then they reboot it.
Yeah.
But written by Matt Rosenberg, the new series is too. So it is a continuation, even though
very
it's
good.
New number one. I was concerned about that because I like what he's doing here.
I do too, actually. There's a really funny exchange. And
they're not that far away from a 250. So why did they start
the new number one? I don't know. I don't know. It's almost like seasons, I guess. You know, Maybe when they get to 250, they'll go up to 250 again.
No, because this knows? Is 227, and the next one is number one.
Right, but once they get to 250 issues, they'll probably
you're saying
call it 250. You know what I mean? Because now they do that legacy numbering.
You're totally right.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Whatever. So whatever, right? I mean, we've been dealing with this for years now.
Yeah,
there's a funny exchange though. Speaking of the good writing of this book, I like this where they're having burritos with he's having a burrito with Black Widow and Winter Soldier, and he's trying to fix the armor. And he's like, "Don't you know this stuff? Don't you have some kind of techno virus going through your body?" And he's like, "What? I don't. Do you think I'm Cable?"
Yeah. That was really funny.
But and they don't really seem to like each other that much.
No.
And but Black Widow's kind of like, "No, we got a job to do here. Let's just do it." And then they go and attack this prison because Baron Zemo is there. And apparently, now like you, I never read Secret Empire, but apparently the fake Steve Rogers is in there,
right?
Which we find out in this issue. So.
Did I you guess notice there's also, in the prison compound, there was, a Groot?
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know, we know it's not Groot. It's just,
some kind of villain.
Villain.
Looks like a tree. But, yeah, weird. But anyway, so, yeah, they're getting overwhelmed.
I like how the prison riot breaks out. Suit is telling him, 488 hostiles detective in the next panel, after a bunch of gun blasts, 467.
Right. Yeah, 440. Yeah, 8 of them have died or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty funny. But so they're about to get, there's just too many prisoners, and then Captain Marvel shows up, and a bunch of Avengers show up, and it's kind of like a melee. So they're still mad at Frank because they want the armor back, but they also want to, they also have to stop this, these villains. So,
who is this fortress guy?
Is I don't know. Bad guy. And then, so the big, you know, the big moment at the end here is that actual Iron Man shows up. Yeah. So we're gonna get like a war machine.
Your girlfriend, versus... Captain Marvel, shows up first.
Well, yeah, she shows up first, but the last page is. Iron Man shows up too, so I assume that should be cool—a cool fight between the armors, right?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
totally. Especially how different Tony and Frank are.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a great matchup. So yeah, that's the Punisher. I assume that will probably be the last issue if they're already hyping up.
Yeah, if they're already pitching that other one, there's probably just the one more.
Yeah. But good stuff. Yeah. You know. I think that's about all I read as far as... Did you read... I bought Darth Vader. I haven't read that yet.
Darth Vader's a cool story.
Very well.
Where you have you have Grand Moff Tarkin hunting down... kind of like the most dangerous game style, hunting down Darth Vader on this planet. And it's entirely all the dialogue and all the narration boxes are through Grand Moff Tarkin. So like he's not it's very cool. It's like from Tarkin's like first person perspective, the whole entire book, and Darth Vader doesn't say anything in the entire thing. So he's just kind of like a Michael Myers or Jason. You know what I mean? Just like not making any noise. He's just like this complete ominous threat. And now Tarkin has to try to best him so that he can, you know, defeat a Sith Lord that has a fucking lightsaber that everyone's scared of. So it's pretty badass, dude. It's kind of one of those like... This is the dark side, right? This is like there's like impending evil in this book. It's pretty cool, man.
All right. It's too bad they can't get the regular Star Wars book to be this good.
Well, at least we got one. You have one that we can right. really enjoy, and
one good Star Wars
book. And nobody else cares except for me. But Thrawn, miniseries wrapping up two, which is also has it has Thrawn. You know, rising to power and like the Emperor giving him his like Grand Admiral status and introducing him to his apprentice, which is Darth Vader at the end. So this kind of wrapped up this story pretty nicely, and they drew Darth Vader really cool in here with the red lenses in his eyes.
Oh, very good.
The distinction there. But people like Thrawn, Extended Universe, Star Wars stuff, I think they did a good job with this six-issue. Basically a Star Trek comic under the title Star Wars. It was just, there was a lot of, like, not like boring, convoluted government stuff like in the prequels, but more like strategy about what the Federation would do in a certain situation kind of plot lines. It was, like, really in-depth. I liked it a lot.
Oh, very well. Oh, excellent. Yeah, we should talk for a minute, I guess. We haven't talked Ant-Man and Wasp on this podcast.
You should.
Movie.
Sorry, I have not seen it, but I don't mind if you tell me what happens or just your thoughts.
I mean, I'm sure you can figure it out. But I mean, there was a lot of exposition at the early parts of the movie. Like kind of the first half of the movie when there's a lot of like talk about the quantum realm and why they're doing it. And Michelle Pfeiffer is, of course, Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, the original Wasp. And she's there.
Yeah.
And what could have happened there? Yeah. And apparently apparently there was like I read an interview with Evangeline Lilly where she was saying like, when we were doing the first movie and they kept talking about this woman, I thought Michelle Pfeiffer would be great. And then they ended up casting her, and she didn't even know. Like, she's like, hey, so we have Michelle Pfeiffer. And she's like, what? That was like my dream. So that was pretty cool. Evangeline Lilly is really good in this, actually. I'm going to say, I know there was a lot of talk. It's kind of probably contrived, but it was kind of made. But like, this is the first female heroine, you know, like female superhero in the title. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Huh. You know what I mean? Like, not like Avengers.
For Marvel. Okay.
Yeah, a Marvel movie, female,
gotcha.
You know, lead yep. in the title.
Yep.
And she did a great job. She was amazing. There was a lot of cool stuff with the shrinking and the, you know what I mean? And she can fight and like there's all kinds of, it's.
It just looks like a bunch of dumb fun.
Yeah, it kind of is. Well, once it gets going, it really is dumb
but
fun.
But is there like a lot of like science stuff that you don't need?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, yeah, with the. They have.
I mean, I love like some techno babble, but if it's like
it's a little bit of techno babble because then they bring in Lawrence Fishburne, Perry White.
Very well,
Perry White. You know, Perry White from the you know he's crossing universe.
Yeah, yep.
Right? But Lawrence to Fishburne. A Flashpoint. Yeah, right.
Or Dr. Manhattan. Lawrence,
yeah, he's playing. What's his name? Foster, what the hell was his first name? Gary, Larry, Foster, whatever his name is. But he was Goliath for a while back in like the 70s.
Or something. Right. Yeah, I remember Goliath. Yeah.
So he had worked with Hank, but then Hank, they had a falling out. And apparently a lot of people don't like Hank Pym.
So is there Goliath like fight scenes and stuff?
No, he's like old. So he never
they don't like paid. They don't suit have him suit up or anything or like
no because that would have been kind of cool though two giants fighting
yeah I would think know? That they would have at least done that you know
yeah but he doesn't do it he's just sciencey guy so he ends up kind of turning on them he's trying to help the ghosts so the ghosts they did the cool thing which they're doing like in all the Marvel movies now basically where the villain is not really that bad she's just trying to. Fix herself because she does this thing where she phases in and out of like reality you right. know like and so she can walk through walls but she also can't really control it that much
there was good use of ghosts
he's just trying
the,
to
oh was it even the Extremis Iron Man or I don't know if it was that Warren Ellis Iron Man or the Fraction Iron Man where they used ghosts a lot
but, I think it was Fraction but he was a guy from way back from like when I was a kid there was a ghost but he was a guy and they made her a woman which is fine and she's pretty cool but yeah she's not like a bad guy because she's just trying to get Hank's technology so that she can cure herself but if she gets the technology then they can't bring Wasp back so it's a whole thing there plus they're looking for Ant-Man because he's under house arrest so when he leaves the house it's a whole thing. So anyways, you know, chicanery ensues. It's all this stuff. But of course, because it's, you know, they're going to give them the happy ending. They get Michelle Pfeiffer back. It's a very nice moment.
And
do you want to hear the big Clifford? Do you want to have the big thing, though, the moment?
Yeah, go for it. It's already been out for a week, so.
I'm sure you read about it or something.
So I the haven't end credit, read about it. You are literally telling me about it.
Do you want me to tell you? This is
yeah,
a big
please,
deal.
Please do.
All right.
People want to know, too.
People, spoiler warning, though, if you haven't
spoiler
seen it.
Spoiler warning.
Is a big deal. End credits sequence, end credits scene here. They realize, so the quantum realm apparently has given Michelle Pfeiffer certain powers, and they want to, like, try to harness these, you know, like that, and use it to, you know, for the betterment of mankind or whatever. So they send Ant-Man through. He goes into the quantum realm. He sucks up some of the quantumness, whatever. They don't really explain. It's very sciencey. And then he's like, okay, you can bring me back now. And like he's like, okay, hello. Like he's communicating back in the, you know, on Earth. And they're not responding. And they go back and they're like dust. Because Thanos did the finger snap.
Oh.
So like... So Ant-Man is trapped in the quantum realm while all the – and like, you know, Hank Pym, Wasp, and OG Wasp are all dust.
Well, when you – if you open up the this Mark Waid Ant-Man in the Wasp comic, that's where it starts, where Scott is like stuck in a quantum realm.
Wow.
Like, and they're trying to get him back. So, possible tie-in. Kind of,
yeah, it sounds like a tie-in. Well, anyways, it's fun, whatever. Apparently the box office dropped big time, like Friday to Friday, but whatever. I mean, it's
still having a good weekend.
Yeah.
It's made more than the last one.
It's like 18th number one in a row or whatever. It's some ridiculous number. It's like, it's just so weird. But I mean, you know, of course it's going to drop because it's summer and a new movie comes out every week. You know what I mean? Skyscraper came out, and probably a lot of people saw that.
Skyscraper.
The one with The Rock. Oh, man. The Rock doing Die Hard, basically.
Well, I didn't see Rampage either, but...
Oh, that movie was so stupid.
I'm glad you were just like, whatever it was, you just decided, whatever it was that sold out, you're just like, fuck it, let's see Rampage.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what? If it comes to it, seeing a movie with The Rock and not seeing anything, I'll see a movie with The Rock, you know?
There you go.
So.
I like your attitude.
Yeah.
I like the cut of your jib.
But it was dumb. It was pretty dumb. But The Rock is not, he's not dumb. He's done a couple bad movies though.
He could do whatever. I mean, he's
exactly. He's entertaining no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm still a huge fan of Ballers.
Oh, you know what? I haven't caught up on that one. I need to.
It's good.
Because Rob Corddry is hilarious. Yeah, that's his name, right? Rob Corddry. Yeah.
Yep.
The little bald guy.
Little bald guy
from Massachusetts.
Nice
local boy. Make good.
Somebody had to.
All right. What you got? Anything else? I mean, I'm about done. You got any other things to chat about?
Domino goes to train with Iron Fist, and she's like super. She shows up in this ridiculous like cosplay kung fu outfit with her boobs hanging out and stuff. She's it's not Iron Fist. It's Master of Kung Fu.
Oh, that's right. He was in the cliffhanger of the last issue.
Yeah. He's like, "What are you literally wearing?" So I found it in the cosplay section. She's like, "You can't wear that." And then they spar and flirt a little bit.
Flirt a little bit.
But anyways, this is fun. Continue to enjoy.
Yeah, it's a fun book. I just haven't read that particular issue, but I got it. It's in my stack.
And Adamantium Agenda is happening, and in this
that's happening.
When Adamantium Agenda hunt for Wolverine, Tony gives Luke Cage, Wolverine, Jessica Jones, and Spider-Man all Iron Man armors that match their costumes.
Wow.
They're trying to get to the vault where Mr. Sinister has the DNA and possibly the body of Logan. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then it turns out that what Mr. Sinister is really hiding is a sample of the DNA of almost everybody on the planet.
Everybody?
Yeah. He's got a big warehouse full of DNA. God. Dino DNA.
Dino DNA.
So now the X-Men apocalypse post-credit scene finally makes sense.
There you go.
After all these years, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
They had a Logan, a Weapon X Logan in that movie too. His cameo was really dumb. Except for
that's pointless.
My favorite Wolverine. I'm glad I got to see somebody had to build that eye thing to put on him.
Yeah, some prop master.
If I was a prop guy and I got to do that, I'd be like, okay, I'm done.
You totally just take that with you too at the end of the movie.
I don't need to do anything else now. This is the end of my career.
My career is over. I've Just, yeah.
I made Weapon X Wolverine's eye. It was probably they gave it to somebody that's never even seen it before. They were like, "Here, look
at this comic." I don't know. Maybe if I'm Brian Singer, I mean, I'm taking that. But
yeah, you're Brian Singer. You're doing a lot of things.
Well, supposedly he was exonerated. I don't know. Apparently he didn't. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
I bet he did. But anyway, all right. I think we can wrap pretty much. Right? You got anything else? Yeah, any events or stories? Okay.
We shows. Have some guests coming up. And
We'll have some guests coming up. It's very exciting stuff. And we got some. We're going to be putting a Curbcast coming up pretty soon. Sorry, we're delayed on that. Stupid 4th of July really screwed everything up. We'll get back to our schedule.
But good comics this week.
Good pod. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you chumps later.
Later, pal.
So I feel you, Peter Parker.